Good afternoon and welcome everybody to this call. First of all, let me thank all the parties, all the stakeholders for the support that you have given us in the transition period of our important reorganization. But as you could see from the first numbers, the group now we can say is back on track. And I would say that the most important message that we see from the actual numbers is that we are not talking only of a substantial recovery of the EBITDA as promised during the call of the first quarter, but all the important parameters are showing substantial improvements. So I'm talking of the net financial position, I'm talking of the working capital. Let me stress one point. We are in this moment in peak season. I would like to remember peak season is in June and July. The fact that we are already improving these parameters can confirm at least that the guidance we have given for 2019 will be matched. I can say the same thing for the EBITDA. If you recall, in the first quarter, we had an important gap. I already stressed the point during the call early May that it was really the last part of our reorganization, reorganization of the operation, of the supply chain, of the systems. And in fact, the group is performing as expected starting from March. So I think that the actual is really interesting. If you analyze the second quarter on a standalone base against the second quarter of 2019, of 2018, Mr. Stefano De Rosa will give you more details. You will appreciate an even more important organic growth. To summarize, and this is more or less in every area of the world. To summarize in few words, as we always said, when operation and supply chain are delivering as expected, the business is reliable, and F.I.L.A. is a good performer in its own business because of its, let's say, ability to perform better than the competition. It's only 4 months that we are back on track, and probably not everybody remember, but last year we started suffering the problems from the third quarter. Problems of service, problems of delivery to the customers, problems of fines, and problems of the integration of Dixon into Pacon, and the let's say, the launch of the central warehouse that happened in September 2018. All these extraordinary situation are now solved. The reason why we are positive on the guidance of 2019, which I would like to remember is 118 million euro EBITDA, is very simple, because the third quarter of this year will not suffer from all these problems. Vice versa, I would say the third quarter of this year is already looking pretty positive. So the relationship with customers is now back on normal. They understood we have been able to solve all our issues, and now the strategy that we have put together on the integration and the diversification in the fine art, which is, a business that has an organic growth throughout the world are clearly giving us the first positive signs now that the business is not affected anymore from the bad service. So all in all, only 4 months behind us with that we are back on track, but we can show already an organic growth that we expect to speed up in the third quarter. And last but not least, a very solid base to build up our business for the next 2-3 years. We have clear in mind that it's a full priority this year, the cash generation and the improvement of the working capital. I like to confirm fully that the target will be at least maintained. Now I ask Stefano to give us more numbers on the flavor I have given, and then I will be happy to answer to all the questions.
Okay. Thanks, Massimo. Let me start just to point specific data that you mentioned during your comments, and that, as you said, we really had a very strong growth in the second quarter, because we have in the second quarter standalone plus 9.3% of growth of EBITDA compared to the second quarter of last year, where we grow only 0.8%. So just to confirm the strong recovery that we had in the second quarter. Generally, before analyzing the presentation detail, all the numbers that we will analyze and comment together show an improvement compared to Q1. Just to start from very highlight data, the sales compared to pro forma data of 18 now show a growth of plus 2.4%, while in the Q1 we had a negative 2.4%. And for EBITDA, while in the quarter one we had a negative pro forma growth of 80%, now we have a plus 1.3%. So just to give a general picture that now we've seen the third data, but both revenue, both EBITDA confirm a strong improvement that allow to us to close with a good first half with the first half data. Also, to finish with a general comment, also as Massimo mentioned, also the NFP benefit of an improvement of the working capital. We just start to work on the working capital. As we say, that the most important benefit will come in the second half. But if we compare the data of the first half of this year, of course, taking away take on effect, because if we have to do a comparison to the previous year that was without PECON, we need to take away PECON and the cash flow. But if we do a just like-for-like comparison, we see that the working capital, the cash absorption, the working capital was less of 13 million. So we start to see just an improvement in the working capital, in particular coming from the inventory. And also we have a confirmation, of course, of a good collection, because also receivable perform very well. So this is a general, I think, comments on the three master data that are sales, EBITDA, and NFP and working capital. Go in detail of the data. I think I ask to you to go to page 4 of the presentation, and just to see now in detail data, we see that the core business sales of we have a value of 350.7 million in June 19, showing an increase of plus 37.4% compared H1 18 results. Of course, to do a better comparison, we need to do to have a pro forma data for 18, because 18 data include only 1 month of Paycon. So if we do a comparison with the 18 data performed, the growth is equal to 8.3 million, that, as I mentioned before, means plus 2.4%. This growth is affected by a positive FX effect. This effect is mainly allocated to the US dollar area, and also a minimum part in the area of Mexican pesos. But let's say that 95% of the 10 million are referred to US dollar revaluation. So if we take away the FX effect, the difference compared to 2018 is equal to less 1.7 million, that means less 0.5%. This 0.5% anyway show an improvement compared to Q1, where this value was equal to negative 4.6%. We can see this improvement in all the area, geographic area, because North America now show a decrease compared to the previous year equal to 7.3 million, that means negative 4.5%, but the value is more or less the half that we had in Q1, that was negative 9.7. As the same for the Europe, that now show a difference of negative 2.6 million, that means negative 2.2%, while in the Q1 this difference was negative for 8.3%, so half more or less of the difference. Also, we can see a strong recovery in the Central South America, where now we have an increase of sales compared to the previous year equal to 0.4%, 1.1 million, while we had a negative variance in the Q1 of 4.6%. And of course, we have a confirmation from the Asia geographic area of a double-digit growth, that means 23%. This general recovery of sales is totally reflected also not only by geographic area, but of course by product line, where we can see a strong recovery in the product line Art and Hobby and Digital, and we can see now a positive difference in the school office product line, and a confirmation of the good trend that also we have seen in the Q1 in the industrial product line. Going to the EBITDA analysis, we can see that the EBITDA at June 19 is equal to 58.2 million. Compare the adjusted EBITDA of 18, that was equal to 44.2 million. So this shown a difference of more or less 14 million compared the data of 18. Of course, also here we need to have a pro forma data for 18, because the EBITDA in 18 include only 1 month of Paycon. So if we analyze the pro forma data for 18, this is equal to 57.5 million. The difference of the EBITDA 19 compared to 18 pro forma data is equal to positive 0.7 million. That means plus 1.3. That, again, I repeat, was a negative 18% in Q1. Also here we have an FX effect that is positive for 2.2 million. Again, as we have seen in the sales, is mainly concentrated in the USD area. And without this effect, we have a negative variance compared to 18 data of 1.4 million, that means negative 2.5%. This data in Q1 was negative 20%. So this improvement is, of course, due to the recovery of sales, but also we have efficiency in the North America area. North America area is maybe important to focus that while we have a negative variance for the turnover, the EBITDA is in line compared to the previous year. This is due to the efficiency in cost that we have in this area due to the integration that is in progress. But also, if you remember, we had fines, transportation cost, as other inefficiencies in 18 that we don't have in this year. So this allowed to us to have an EBITDA in line with 18, notwithstanding the sales are less than 18. This is reflected, of course, also in the margin. Generally, we have the EBITDA margin in line compared to the previous year, and also here we recover more or less 3 points compared to Q1, where we had a negative difference in the EBITDA margin. And this is due to the North America, and also to say to the split in two quarters of the inefficiency that we have related to the Annone hub in Q1. Now, of course, problem solved, so we have this effect is diluted in the half compared it was in Q1. So these are the main effects that allow now to us to have a strong recovery in EBITDA margin. In related to extraordinary cost, it's important to mention that we have two effects, one positive that is related to the IFRS 16 adjustment that is equal to 60.3 million. And then we have this effect is partially offset by 4.6 million of extraordinary costs. These extraordinary costs are mainly related to the North American organization, to the SAP implementation, to the hub, to the hub inefficiency that we had in the, especially in Q1, and for a minor part to also an organization that we are having in the Australia subsidiary. These two assets combined makes a negative adjustment of 1.7 million. Related to the net income, we have a net income adjusted that is equal in 19 to 22 million, showing an increase compared to the same data of 18 of 6.5 million, plus 42%. It's important to mention that compared to 14 million that we had in the EBITDA comparison, this positive difference is decreased to 6.5 million due to the increase of depreciation amortization that we have in particular for the purchase price allocation and the new investment in particular in India and to the major financial charges coming from the financing made for the acquisition of Paycom. Related to the net financial position, we have a value in June equal to negative 602.4 million, showing a net debt increase of 149.6 million. This difference is partially due to the seasonality effect that we had in this period, but is affected also by some non-recurring or extraordinary effects. Just to go in detail, 80.5 million are due to the IFRS adoption. Then we have a negative mark-to-market aging effect to equal to 10.6 million. Just to point this out, this is a cashless effect. This is due to the compulsory the obligation that we had to cover the interest rate in the our acquisition financing. And unfortunately, the LIBOR and Euribor interest curve changed a lot compared July 18. And these 5.6 million is allocated for 4.5 million to the Euribor rate and 6.1 million to LIBOR rate. Just to be precise, this is the effect that we have from December to June, but the global effect that we have in our net financial position is equal to more or less 16 million, because we had also more or less 6 million in 18 of mark-to-market aging effect. I repeat, this is a cashless effect at the moment. Then we have an operating cash flow negative for 30.1 million, that is normal for the period. I just pointed before at the beginning of my call that anyway the working capital, like the like-for-like comparison, is showing an improvement of 13 million compared to the same period of the previous year. Then we have a net financial, we have capex for more or less 8 million. A big part is due to our subsidiary in India, DOMS, but also we have invested in Mexico, in Canton France, in Fila. Then we have a net financial expenses equal to 13.1 million. This amount is for 10 million referred to the facility agreement made for the acquisition of PECO, and the remaining part for the normal interest that we have on the debt to cover the net working capital need in this period. Then we have dividend pay for 43 million, that is mainly part due to the FILA dividend, but in minor part also to some subsidiary where we have some minor interest. And then we have a negative FX effect of 3.1 million. 1.7 is allocated to the USA area, and 1.4 million is allocated to the Mexican area, where we have in both area negative NFP. So these all effects explain the increase, net debt increase of 150 million that we have compared to December. And I repeat, we have some strong effect that is due to accounting principle change, IFRS 16, to mark-to-market effect cashless, and to also to the negative FX effect that we have in the moment as a translation effect of net financial position. So I think that now we are open to the Q&A section.
We have a question, please, Mr. Dicolor Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Hello to everybody. My question relates to the imports from China to the US. Just if you can give us an update on the situation, also in light of the latest declaration by Mr. Trump about further tariffs on 300 billion worth of goods to be sold to the US from China, and also if you could confirm that in case you need to move production out of China to other countries, India is still for you a viable option following the new tariffs on Indian imports put by the US. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Nicola. First of all, this strategy of announcement, as you know, first of all, we are still talking of announcement. If you recall, during the second quarter, we suffered the same situation. There was announcement that first, 10th of June, we should have duties from Mexico, then they disappeared, and then from the 1st of July from China. This let me do a little comment that goes beyond your question. This has generated some instability in our business in the United States, but this gives even more positive value on our semester because many customers have accelerated the import from China to avoid the payment of the duties. Thus, they have limited for inventory reason, for organization reason, for supply chain reason, they have limited the purchases from our North American entity, asking us to continue delivering the back to school in July and in August. In fact, we are seeing a very strong July. We have seen, because now July has been closed, a stronger July that for many years we have not seen. So why I'm saying this? Because what is difficult is to measure the impact of this announcement. In terms of FILA, if you recall, I have analyzed all the different scenarios. Frankly speaking, this scenario, so duty from China and no duty from Mexico and India is probably the most favorable scenario for FILA Group, because we are the only one ready to move in Mexico and in India. And let me say, we have already done this move because the feeling we had in this period was that the application of the tariff was only postponed. So in fact, our factory in China has already slowed down the production starting the month of May, and our factory in India and in Mexico starting from May are already speeding up the same production. So our decision was to continue in this direction, not taking care of all the announcement, because it's impossible to build up an industrial strategy following announcement on a weekly basis. So the scenario of today is probably the best scenario we can have, because China today represents almost 80% of the import to United States in our business, and let's say the most economical alternative in the business of fine art to our strong leadership. Adding import duty only to Chinese product for FILA would be a very positive scenario, because we have a solution ready with same quality. In India, we have even slightly better cost. In Mexico, we have comparable cost. So we can benefit from a market that will see a lot of inflation. Is this really the scenario that we will see? Frankly speaking, I'm not sure. If this will be the case, then for FILA, we could see a slight improvement of the gross margins in 2020.
And just if I may, as a follow-up, you have moved production of just pencils or also other products?
No, we have moved a lot of product. We have moved pencils, color pencils. We are moving wax crayon. We are moving paper. This relates to Pecon mainly. We are moving also, we are starting to produce brushes. So little by little, India will grow in terms of importance. Let me remember that India today is very strong, but on a domestic base. So India exports very little to the group because they have hard time to follow the strong demand of their domestic market. They are investing. If you remember, we announced a very heavy investment in 2019 in India. This was part of our strategy to reinforce India, because in the business, more or less, was known that there was a risk related to China. So I think we are ready. This will protect our business for sure in 2020, because in 2019, the year, it's almost gone. I think that you should appreciate the strategic presence of FILA, this multi-country presence, because in the EBITDA, definitely, this cost us some percentage of the EBITDA, because we have three plants that are ready to start production in a few weeks. But you can appreciate the strategic strength we have today, that we can answer to any kind of threat just moving from China to India and from China to Mexico.
Okay, thank you. So if I understand well, basically you have not moved any equipment from China to Mexico or India. You just improve your production profile in Mexico and India. Is it right?
We have also moved some equipment, but frankly speaking, in those countries, the value is so insignificant that I didn't think this was important to communicate. But we have also moved some equipment for the simple reason that we need to have a me-too product. In order to avoid the learning curve of the production, we prefer to move some equipment in order to guarantee the same quality to the consumer. But it's really insignificant. We are talking of some $100,000.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Robillard of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. Just a quick one on extraordinary costs. During the first quarter's conference call, you told that no more extraordinary or non-recurring costs were expected to happen until Q4 and the postponement of SAP rollout at Dixon, yet we see 2 million euros of additional extraordinary costs on EBITDA. Can you give us some more color on that?
Yes, Stefano,
can you please answer Stefano with the figures, and then if necessary I will give some flavor on this.
Let's say that we have an increase of 1 million compared Q1 more or less. And this is due mainly to the increase of cost that we had in the North America area, just to move again the equipment, to store additional space, some inefficiency in learning curve with the new machine, and so a big part comes from this North America area. So let's say that we still have an increase, I think, in the next month, because we have some consultancy fees that will increase for the last part of the integration, that will be Dixon with Pecon, because now I'm still referring to Canson with Pecon, and some consultancy costs, initial consultancy costs that we are sustaining for tax analysis and reorganization consultants analysis with our lawyer, our advisor for the next merger. But so I think that we will have another queue coming, not big, but coming for the finalization of the North America merger. So the increase is due to the North America, again, to the integration with Canson, and maybe to some queue of some also from some cost coming from the hub. Half the cost due to the temporary work that we need to hire, to some relabor cost that we had to sustain in some products, so due to the to the inefficiency that we explained in the Q1. Now, these costs related to the hub are still closed. So, I estimation that from the hub, we will not have any additional extraordinary cost. We will have an additional queue just for the North America organization.
Okay, thank you. And so, for the full year, can we expect, I think you guided €5 million before. Can we have an update on that guidance now that it has already almost been reached in the first half?
I don't know exactly for sure. I will still have some advisory costs. I don't know exactly in my mind amount, but if I should say an amount, I think that I estimate another 1 million, maybe maximum, that will come from this area, because we have also for the banks amendment, we have some bank local amendment to discuss with local banks, to the merger. So we have a lot of advisory costs and lawyer costs that we're sustaining for this to finalize this organization. But my estimation is another, maybe 100 million for the end of the year, no more.
Stefano, let me remember to all of you that at the end of the month of April, we have announced the signature of a very rich contract of the distribution, of sole distribution, that will generate 3.5 to 4 million euro BDA per year starting 2020. This has been a very tough negotiation. We still have a negotiation with the actual distributor to take over the inventory. So we have a contract that has been quite complicated. So there are running things, but all in all, even against some 100,000 unexpected cost, we are going to generate at least 3.5 to 4 extra million EBITDA starting January 2020. And last but not least, as you have probably read in the press release, we have signed an agreement to sell a non-strategic asset in North America. The board has just approved this deal, so now we have to wait. This deal is subject to financing from the buyer, but there shouldn't be any problem. We expect a closing during the month of October. This sale will generate $10 million for us, and is a business related to backdrop photo paper that we found in Pacon, and we have considered not strategic. So we are going to have also a positive impact of $2 million on a yearly base on working capital. So we are anyway always involved by extraordinary project, in this case both extremely positive.
Maybe Massimo, I forgot also to mention that in the last quarter of the year we will have also the final merge in the French for the French companies, that will be Omnia and Canson France, that of course will drive some additional consultancy costs.
Okay, so it will be more than 1 million then for extraordinary costs, and for the 10 million of cash generation from the asset sale, I suppose it won't be part of the free cash flow as guided for the year.
No, absolutely, is on top.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
By the way, I said that the estimated free cash flow, we think now that will be at least what we have always announced. So this not considering the sale of this asset.
The next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about outlook. What is your outlook for the third quarter in terms of both organic sales and EBITDA growth? And more broadly speaking, to reach your guidance of adjusted EBITDA of 118 million, you need to make, a good second half. So EBITDA growing by 12-13%. Just if you can elaborate more on these, on the drivers that you need to have in order to reach this guidance. My second question is, if you could provide us a guidance of a net financial position for the year, including and excluding Forex and hedging interest and so on. My third question is about net working capital for the first half. So if you could elaborate a little bit more, because to me it seems that you absorbed more cash than last year. I would like to better understand the like-for-like, and then if you can provide net working capital on sales on 12 months, just to have a better look on this. And then finally, my last question is about the tax rate. I saw that the tax rate was 26% on a reported basis and 22% on an adjusted one. I would like to better understand what is your guidance or indication for the year. We saw a very nice improvement in the second quarter, so I would like to better understand on the tax issue. Thank you.
Okay. Let me answer the first question, then Stefano will give all the comfort for the other questions. In terms of EBITDA, the reason why we feel comfortable on our estimation for the 2019, let me remember that we felt comfortable also during the first quarter, because in that moment we had accumulated a quite important delay. So I think that at that moment it was more difficult to believe why we were positive. I think there are two reasons why we feel comfortable. Number one, because in our business, and especially in the back-to-school period, we work with the planning. So we see we already have a good view of the amount of orders that we will receive. So we have a longer view, and that was already the case during the month of March. Number two, we have a solid back-to-school, especially in North America. So we have received this afternoon, so I couldn't elaborate, but I have seen already the sellout of Walmart, for example, of our product, and is definitely better than expected. We have received a request, and this I can say worldwide, let's say north of Ecuador, it means where the schools open between August and September. We have received generally from our distribution a request to destock their level of inventory. This destocking has generated a back to school that is continuing during the month of June, and we expect also August and September. So the distribution is suffering a little bit the competition of internet e-commerce. Maybe they are also suffering some difficult expectation related to the duties, the trade war, the difficult economic environment in Europe. So all of our customers have decided to destock. This is not generating any issue to us because, as you know, we come from a very high level of inventory from 2018, so we can guarantee a very good service. But as I mentioned during my discussion in the beginning of this call, we have experienced a very strong month of July. You have to combine this with last year. So last year we have generated 54 million euro in EBITDA in the second semester, and I think in my life probably has been the most difficult semester. We had the problems of fines. We have problems of service. We have problems of warehouse that was not delivering product during all the months of September and partially the months of October. It should be realistic. If you just project the second quarter this year, in which we have grown 9% versus last year, and last year the second quarter was the last positive quarter, I think it's easy to understand that the second half, in which today we are working on a normal course of business, we can guarantee good service, the sellout of our product is back to a normal situation. Frankly speaking, I really don't see any concern to reach our numbers. This is related to EBITDA. I think that for the United States, the last year, third quarter, was the worst third quarter of the last 10 years. So I think you can realistically expect a substantial improvement that will go beyond the improvement of the second quarter of this year. For what the net financial position is concerned and working capital, I prefer Stefano to give you some numbers, but just to give you one single number that is more important, inventory at the end of June on a worldwide base has been decreased by 13 million euro from 31st March 2019. So in just 3 months, despite we were entering in back to school, we have reduced inventory by 13 million euro. Now, Stefano, please, can you integrate with all the other numbers?
Okay, yes, Massimo, thanks. Alessandro, it's not easy to analyze, I think that you are referring to the cash flow at page 10, because of course the comparison is correct, because our 6 month 18 compared 6 month 19, but of course the 19 6 months include in full Paycon, while 18 column include only partially Paycon only, and for 20 days related to the economic impact, of course. And also for the flow, I refer only to 20 days, I'm not referring to 6 months of flow. Anyway, if you see the operating cash flow, but it's not the right analysis, the operating cash flow is absorbing less than the previous year, but it's a combination between a better EBIT and in particular better EBIT with the less extraordinary cost compared to the previous year. But it's not the right analysis that I will look, I will prefer, that I would like to analyze. The thing is that I did an exercise, of course I did some neutralization in the 19 column of the 5 months of Paycon. So is after this exercise that I can tell you that the absorption in the net working capital is not 18.7 million, but without Paycon, just to do a comparison correct with the 18 period, is 61 million. So I have 13 million improvement compared to the 74.6 absorption that I had in 18. Of course, this is an exercise that I'm able to do because I have the data, and but are not audited data, but are extra accounting data that I have from my system. Generally, the operating cash flow after this exercise improve is equal to negative 21 million. So you can see that compared 18, I have 23 million of improvement. This improvement is coming part from the EBIT, because I have less extraordinary cost compared to the previous year. And as Massimo mentioned, part come from the improvement inventory, where if I consider the data without Paycon, I have 19 million improvement, more or less, compared to the previous year. I have 5 million point three of improvement in the change in trade receivable, and I have a negative 14 million absorption in the payable. These are numbers, but just to tell you that if we do this exercise, just to do a correct like-for-like comparison, the working capital improved of 13 million. So you cannot compare the 81 because the 81 is not totally comparable to the 74.6 that you see at page 10. You need this exercise. To give you the ratio, the net working capital on sales is in this period equal to 55%. That is in line with the first half ratio that we have here, but you have to consider that there was a good ratio last year. What happened, the deterioration direction happened in the Q3 and Q4. So these are the reason why I see this exercise in the working capital that just started. You know that management is focused on this improvement. I see results if I do the analysis in the right way, and and I also am very optimistic because the big release of the working capital should happen in Q3, and in Q3. So I expect a really better improvement in Q3 that I already see in first half anyway. Related to the tax rate, you are right, we improved. Just to be a little conservative, I would prefer to stay around 28% of tax rate. You know that normally I move between 28% and 30%. Get an improvement compared to the previous year because, of course, FILA paid last year exceptional tax related to the German subsidiary, and also Dixon accrual were very high in last year because they were based on 17 result, 17 results. So the estimated tax accrual that was high compared the real result that they had. So with the two main effects explain, I think, why this year I have a better tax rate compared to the previous year.
Okay, thank you. And for, indication for the net financial position for this year. And
I confirm that. I want to be clear. So as Massimo and me and Massimo, I think that we confirm in a couple of comments that we confirm the free cash flow generation of 50 million, more or less, as we always said. Of course, I can estimate the two main. Of course, I don't consider the IFRS 16 effect because it's clear. But I think that the mark-to-market effect that now is 60 million. 16 million, based on the last estimation, the interest curve will be worse, and so I think that maybe it could increase of a couple of million. And related to the FX effect, Alessandro, I cannot say at the moment. I have an amount of 3 billion, so at the moment I can say that I think just for a reasonable estimation, the FX effect should be between 3 and 5 million, as the aging effect will be negative, will be between 16 and 18 million at the moment. So these are the two effects that, of course, are out from my free cash flow generation. That is confirmed.
But also, we do not have the sale of the asset in our free cash flow.
Of course.
Okay, and thank you. If I may, so your guidance of 118 is including as well, I think that you will lose something, but probably negligible this year, just to have in mind the BDA of what you sold. And finally, on the tariffs, if actually China-US trade dispute will continue with this 10% of tariff hikes starting from September, are you going to lift the prices in the US for the last quarter or not? Thank you.
For the first question, the yearly amount of the DDA that we have sold is $1.4 million. So if now that we have gone through the approval of the banks and to the approval of the board, the buyer should be ready to sign the deal, to close the deal, let's say mid of October. It's a business without seasonality, so I think we are talking of $150,000 of BDA. I would say negligible. Concerning the tariffs, first of all, you talked about 10%. I read that the tariff will be increased minimum 10%, but Mr. Trump did not say that all these products will be subject to 10%, but he says, if I'm not wrong, between 10 and 25%. Anyway, the answer is yes. As the tariff will impact from September, we will increase the prices probably from January, because with September our year will be almost gone, considering that we have all the product in stock. Let me give you a sense of what happened in May in United States. And by the way, I still don't believe these tariffs will happen, but you never know. And the reason is very simple. United States, especially in our business, has absolutely no more production. So to impose tariffs means that they are simply generating heavy inflation. These problems is affecting even more our customers, because in United States, our customers, all of them are heavily exposed to China and to their own private label, heavily. 10% on the entry on an entry level product is a lot. Is much less in premium brands like us. So as a customer were exposed to the threat of the tariff from the 1st of July, they were asking us to pass as soon as possible the price increase, because they wanted to keep a certain coherence in their shelf inside their assortment. So what we have experienced during May and June is that the price increase related to the tariff was easy to get, and we will get in case the tariffs will happen. So this I can tell you based on the experience we had during the second quarter. I'm not sure we are going to be very aggressive after September, because frankly speaking, the level of purchases will be minimal. If you recall, last year we suffered heavily because of a low margin business that we were making with Walmart, that we called Black Friday, and we received the 10% duty overnight, the 24th of September. So our year was heavily affected by the duties that overnight was imposed by Mr. Trump, and as the deal was already done with Walmart, we kept all the costs, including the transportation cost that went up dramatically. And I remember this affected in the area of $1 to $1.2 million. And at the end, this business had negative margins. This year, considering the environment, I decided to give up this business. So
I really don't see any emergency or any urgency to increase prices after September. I can say we have under control the situation.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Giuseppe Marcella of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I have three questions. The first one is on organic top line. If I'm correct, I estimate 3% organic top line growth in Q2. I'll say good but not great. Is the trend you've seen in July better than this? Second question is on revenue synergies. You have been never vocal on this kind of synergies after the acquisition, but taking into account that now the integration process is completed, do you see possibility to explore revenue synergies in 2020? And third one, if you can just provide an update on the implementation of the ERP, where are you in terms of geographies? Thank you.
Thanks, Giuseppe. Stefano, can you give, and then I answer more in detail, can you give the number of our organic growth as of 30 of June, if I understood correctly the question?
Yes. The total organic, yes, total revenue is negative for the 6 months, as we mentioned, of 0.5. But I think that Giuseppe refer only to Q2, and yeah. Q2 is correct, is more or less 3.6% of increase. But so Giuseppe, you are correct. I will let you to Massimo to answer, but just remember that as I mentioned, we have a good performance of the margin in the North America compared to revenue because we experimented.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I see the organic EBITDA growth in Q2 only is much better, which is good.
It's 9.3.
Yeah, I just want to understand whether the good performance you mentioned in July, which is already over, is something better than the 3% organic you did in Q2.
We have not closed July, but I can tell you from the sense of the numbers I have received because we receive on a regular basis from country to country, but the problem is that, as you know, we are an integrated group, so many countries produce for other countries. So I cannot give you, because I don't have in front of me, the consolidation, because there could be some elision of consolidation. But if you want my answer, yes, the month of July will be largely stronger than the second quarter. So really, we hope, but let me put the things in the right way. The fact that July is largely stronger is not because now the situation, you have to see, let's say, a rocket that going into the moon, because the third quarter last year was extremely weak. So it's a combination of third quarter 2018 extremely weak, and a third quarter 2019 in which the things are back to normal, and the company has always performed with a nice organic growth. You will see an acceleration of this organic growth during third quarter, but please remember that is related also to the fact that the third quarter last year was extremely weak. So it's a combination.
Thanks.
For the second question, the cross sales, it's a very, I thank you because it's an interesting question. I remember, I'm not sure you attended the meeting, but I remember when the American manager came. I don't want to talk only of United States. I can say the same thing for Europe. They told a very simple thing. We have an unbelievable potential in the future. And by the way, we feel extremely positive about 2020 and 2021. You have to consider two very simple things. Number one is that we had dramatic problems in 2018 related to probably mistakes that we made and problems related to the system that now have been solved. So customer cannot forget overnight. So the American manager, and this is valid also for Europe, clearly said in 2019, let us work to go back to a normal situation. Let's gain the trust of our customer. And I can tell you one of the best performers this year with us is Walmart. That has been a disaster for us in 2017 and 2018. Once we have taken back the trust of our customer, it will be much more easy to sit down and start talking of cross sales. In Europe, this will be exactly the same. We experienced a problem in the last quarter of 2018 for the central hub that we solved around the last week of February. Now customers they stopped complaining, and this is already a very positive sign. So when they stop complaining, we can meet them and start talking of development. So yes, definitely you are going to see important cross sales. Last but not least, also from the Arch contract we signed in April. So all the fine art business that count for 1/3 of the business worldwide will be very positively affected by this contract. The second point I want to highlight is that we are a group that has to manage seasonality. Seasonality means that the business that we do now in June, July, and August, and also in fine art in September and October, is a consequence of the job that we have done in September, October, and November 2018. So if you go back to 2017, 18, 19, it was extremely difficult. We could spend the card of the Paycon management that, of course, we have used heavily. Last year was extremely difficult to tell customer, sorry, we are not able to supply you on a regular basis, but please expand my assortment. So that was not realistic at all. So in 2019, the synergies that you will see that are confirmed are only cost savings. In 2020, we really have strong argument now that the fines are absolutely on budget in North America as of June 2019. The service is absolutely in line with our expectation all over the world. Definitely, our discussion in this moment are very positive with customers. This I can anticipate to you. We have a substantial improvement in terms of new SKU in the shelves, and this will be translated into probably a very positive view of the 2020 when we will sit down and we will discuss our expectation for 2020. I think you can understand that you cannot go from a situation that is extremely tended, difficult with customer overnight to talk about development. We needed a period of stability, which has happened between March 2019 and July, August 2019, and now we are absolutely in a very good position to develop our business in 2020. For the third question related to the systems, if you recall, we have decided to stop the SAP transition in Dixon that should have happened at the 1st of July. I think today we can say we took a good decision. We have no problem giving the right service to the customers. We have moved the transition to the 1st of October, and I think we are to three quarter of the steps. Stefano, can you remind me what will be the next step hour after
yes.
this in October?
Yes, so just to remember that we did also Benelux in just a few months ago. Now, as you said, we will do the rollout of Dixon and Omnicolor, of course, the French company. Then we will have a break for 20 because we plan to have the rollout of Fila in 2021. And we will have DAL, so UK area, in 22. Mexico and China in 23. This is the update rollout plan.
The next question comes from Mr. De Figueiredo of LBV. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I have just a simple question on IFRS 16, if you could help me. So you had 6.3 million in the first half. Can I use 12 million as a proxy for the full year? But what I'm trying to reconcile is your EBITDA guidance of 118 million, which I presume includes this 12 million, versus the 97.5 of adjusted EBITDA, which comes on in Bloomberg. So whether the two numbers are comparable. Thank you.
Yes. So for the first question, the EBITDA impact is 6 million in the first half, so we can have an approximation of 12 million for the full year. But our guidance is without IFRS 16 because is normalized from extraordinary cost and from IFRS 16 effect. So 118 million is without the benefit of IFRS 16.
Yes, Stefano, can you answer also please the 97, which I presume it's an estimated EBITDA without Pacon?
Didn't catch the question, sorry.
The second question, you can ask directly to the person that made the question, but the second question was the estimation of Bloomberg of 97 million EBITDA. I think this was based on the EBITDA without Pacon, but it's just an assumption, so
yeah.
You can answer.
Yeah, I think yes.
So can you repeat your question so we can better answer, because I think Bloomberg did not take into account that last year we acquired Pacon in June, while this year we have 12 months with Pacon.
Yes, thank you, Massimo. You've clarified already my question.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
We do confirm the 118.
Yes, thank you.
Is a follow-up from Nicolò Storer. Please go ahead.
Yes, a very, very quick one. On your production move to Mexico and India, can you spend a percentage of how much of the Chinese production has been moved to the two countries? Are we talking about 30%, 50%, 10%?
First of all, this production is already existing in India and in Mexico, so they are just adding shifts to their daily activity. So for them, there is nothing new. So they are not going to buy work in process or boxes or whatever.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
are just simply speeding up. For Chinese production, it's quite substantial, also because the production for the United States was very profitable, very simple, few SKUs, and the volume, it's a good 30 to 40%. If really the duty will happen, if really the duty will happen. We are already slowing down the production. We had some temporary workers. We are already working towards the direction to reduce the production, but we have decided to keep the plant open for two reasons. One is because the Chinese plant is integrated with our plantation. We have the trees that will be ready in 18 months, more or less, from now. And it's anyway a very competitive plant. This plant supply Europe in a very efficient way. Number two, in our numbers, this year we are seeing a very strong domestic Chinese market. China will be definitely a market that now is a priority number one for us. So this plant will be more focused to domestic production and European sales.
Sorry, Massimo, I didn't understand. Let's make a final check. So 30-40% of Chinese volumes could be moved to other countries in case the new tariffs kick in, or are already moved outside?
We have already started to move outside. But as you can imagine, when you decide to move something outside, it's not just that you switch off a machine,
yeah,
but you have to finish all the working process and the raw material.
Yeah.
So the plant is already will be downgraded. We have decided this 2 months ago anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Will be downgraded. It will be easy to go back to normal activity, but downgraded means that they will still continue producing for United States because they have to finish their working process.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions.
Okay, Massimo, I think that's...
We have other two questions. Can I...
Of course.
Okay.
You can continue.
Okay. We have a question from Giorgio Martorelli of Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. I have actually two questions. The first one, we spoke at length about the poor third quarter results last year, which was a mix of weak organic growth and one-off cost. I would like to better understand, if you can elaborate a bit more about the not a one-off cost, meaning a restructuring cost, but what kind of cost you occurred in third quarter in 2018, which were related to fines, to shipping costs, to logistic costs, to, you know, inefficiency related to the departure of the CEO in the U.S. So to better understand what kind of this cost will not be repeated in third quarter 2019. And the second question, very simple. If I'm not wrong, at the end of last year, the net working capital on sales was around 44%, using the pro forma net revenues of Paycon, which was consolidated only for 7 months. If you can give us a sense of what kind of net working capital and sales you are expecting to have at the end of 2019. Thanks.
Thank you, Giorgio. Stefano, can you answer the second question, because I think you have the figures in front of you?
To be honest, Massimo, I don't like to give exactly a ratio, because it depends on the sales. I prefer to give a guidance for the NFP, because the ratio in my mind could be, if I remember well, but I prefer not around 40%, 42% should be. But it depends on the volume of the sales that we will do, etc. So the ratio can change. That doesn't mean that we will not hit anyway our target of free cash flow of 50 million, as we said, without all the extraordinary effect and cashless effect that we mentioned before. So the ratio, I remember the budget was, you know, budget was near what I said, but it can change, of course, depending from the volume of sales.
Okay, I don't know, Giorgio, if this answer is satisfactory for you. Concerning the first question, fortunately or unfortunately, last year we entered in our, let's say, black hole in the month of July, and there is a long list of problems that you probably forgot. We didn't. The list of problems is coming from fines, in which this year we have budgeted savings in the area of on top of $2 million, and we are absolutely in line with the budget. We had at least $1.2 million extraordinary cost related to Black Friday business, in particular duty rates and the transportation costs. We lost a business due to a service problem of roughly $4 million with Walmart because our management was not able to deliver in time the back to school. Just that accounted for a couple of million EBITDA. And I can anticipate to you that Walmart is performing extremely well this year. Part of the success of June and July is also related to the performance with Walmart. So in order to give a sense of why our estimation is accurate for the second semester, we have forecasted, and I think we were right, we have forecasted a slight growth in 2019 because of all the problems we have created to our customers, but to reach the 118 million of the consensus that clearly starts to be an interesting result, this is heavily due to the fact that we have taken out a lot of inefficiency from our system, and naturally customers in this moment are ordering from us, which last year they didn't. Fortunately, our product are seeing a very good sellout. Still our product are brand leader for in some cases 100 years, so there has not been we have not experienced a substitution from the competition, but just a pain for 2018. So I was extremely pleased when I saw the numbers of the second quarter, because probably you have forgotten that the second quarter last year was still a pretty good quarter, and then all the problems came after July, all the problems together. I think that from now on it will be enough to do our homework, to supply what the customers are demanding from us. The market of fine art is strong. The market of school is stable, not from a consumer point of view, but more from a customer point of view, because they tend to destock a little bit. So we are experiencing a little bit some waves. But in this case, in the third quarter, the wave is in our favor. At the end, the result will be a stable school market and a very good fine art market. All in all, this will generate the numbers of 2019, but a very strong ground for our expectation in 2020.
Thank you.
Is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini. Please go ahead.
Just as a very quick follow-up, a couple of points. The first one about CapEx. So first half, you reduced CapEx versus last year. I would like to understand if you expect some seasonality or you are working on, of course, on all main items on free cash flow in order to push up numbers and then to provide more cash flow. Just to understand if you have to double CapEx or you have some seasonality on these. And finally, to double check on tariffs. So basically, you are very, confident to say that the potential tariffs will not have an impact on P&L numbers for this year because you have already production, you have already stock in-house. Thank you.
Alessandro, no, the investment have no seasonality. I would say the other way around, the seasonality is just gone. So there is really no sense to invest now for a business that will start growing the demand again in April. In March, April 2020. Of course, when it looked absolutely necessary that we focus on cash generation and working capital, fortunately, after we have solved all our supply chain problems, we could focus on cash generation and inventory management, and the results I can guarantee you will come because you just have seen the beginning of the good results of all the things that we have decided in this period. So I think that as the market was clearly asking to us, we are focusing on cash generation and inventory management. In terms of tariffs, probably you forgot a discussion we had, but I have always said that there are many scenarios that are heavily changing in this period. There was a moment in which there were tariffs from Mexico, then there were tariffs from India, then tariffs from China, India, and Mexico, and then so the situation is extremely unpredictable. In this moment, if I have to make a picture of the situation of today, which is Mexico zero tariff, India zero tariff at least for our product, and tariffs from China, this is an ideal situation for FILA because we are the only one that have production in our business in Mexico and India. Can we bet this will be a situation long term? No. So I don't want to sell a better P&L because in this moment we have momentarily a situation that can help us. The reason is very simple. All our competition in North America today is concentrated in the private label of our customers. All our customers are outsourcing products from China. They cannot even imagine to outsource from Mexico and India, if not in a 3-4 year period. There is no ground, there is no know-how in those countries. So in the situation that see China affected by tariffs and Mexico and India not affected, I can guarantee you that in 2020 you will see an improvement of our expected numbers because we have a strategic advantage versus the competition. I cannot believe that this will be the situation because I think we have all learned that what Trump announced is never followed by decisions. Are the tariffs going to impact 2019? Very little. So I think that whatever is below $500,000, I think is negligible on a 118 million EBITDA. There could be an impact of 100,000, 200,000. Maybe yes, because we are short of one product and long in another product. But those are details. The numbers, we can confirm our numbers because the impact anyway will be minimal.
Okay, very, very clear. Thank you.
We have no more questions.
Massimo, do you have something to add before ending the call?
No, I thank everybody for numerous and interesting questions, and I hope to meet all of you soon.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.